You give us liberty to preach, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. This sounds like a very common question today. Where you're talking to an atheist about Christianity, they often ask the question, if there's a God, why do bad things happen? And they oftentimes point at a misfortunate person and they say, what did he do to deserve that? And the Lord answers and says, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God should be manifest in him. Now, he's basically pointing out that there's not a specific sin that he did that made him blind. And there's not a specific sin that his parents did that made him blind. But was the man a sinner? Well, yes, all of us are sinners, right? There's not a man on earth that's not a sinner. Only Christ alone was the only sinless, perfect man. So you got to think about it like this, though. If it wasn't for Adam's sin, there would never be any sickness. If Adam and Eve had not sinned in the garden, there would not be any sickness. There would not be any death. There would not be any physical ailments or anything of that nature. But so this man is not blind because of a specific sin that he did or his parents did, but he is, well, we all have ailments simply because of sin in general. So he's not blind because of a specific sin, but general sin. And some do have things happen from specific sins. For example, if you murder somebody, you're going to go to prison. I mean, there are some consequences to actions. If a person becomes a prostitute, well, they'll get AIDS. There are some things that happen as a consequence of some specific sins, but most ailments are just a result of general sin, but not specific sin. So it's not the case in this specific scenario of what we just read. So let's take this to a spiritual level. Let's talk about spiritual blindness. Some believe you go to hell because of specific sins. They say, well, you're going to go to hell for murder. You're going to go to hell for robbing that bank, or you're going to go to hell for this and that. Well, any sin can send you to hell, right? Sin is sin. It only took one sin to get Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden, right? So, not necessarily specific sin sends you to hell, but general sin. We are all born sinners in need of a Savior, amen? We are all lost apart from the blood, amen? We all have a sin nature, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We all have a sin nature, and therefore we all deserve to be in hell with our back broke. Amen? But thanks be unto God for the grace of God, which was provided by Jesus Christ at the cross. Got a little tongue-tied there. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Hold your place in John because we're going to come back to this. But Luke chapter 18. The Lord reveals the heart of a man who thinks he's perfect. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. Now we know that the Pharisees and the rulers of that time, they thought that they were good people, right? They were religious but lost. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus saith unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good save God, one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." So he's religious. He don't see that he does any wrong. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. The Lord gives this illustration to show the heart of this ruler, who thinks he's good enough to keep the law. He just revealed this man's covetous. He's materialistic. So this guy wasn't so good after all. Well, neither am I and neither are you. Amen? He reveals the heart of this man. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How heartily shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" Who then can be saved? And don't you love the Lord's response? And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." And you know, that also answers the question asked in verse 19. Lots of cults will latch on to Luke 18, verse 19 and say, see there, Jesus was not God because he said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good save one that is God." But Jesus Christ answers that in verse 27, and he said, "All things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Didn't Jesus Christ pay for all of our sins on the cross? Absolutely. So he was God manifested in the flesh, and he made an impossible salvation possible to you and me. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Does Jesus save? Absolutely. Because Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, his death on the cross, his precious blood and bodily resurrection provided salvation for whosoever. I'm glad I'm a whosoever, aren't you? Aren't you glad you're a whosoever? This provides the answer to verse 19. And that is the very reason why context, context, context is so important. You cannot just pluck one verse out of the Bible and make a big doctrine out of it. You have to read a verse in its proper context. So, the title of this message is, "Are You Blind? Are you spiritually blind to the very consequences of your sin? Are you blind to your sin nature?" Newsflash, if you haven't figured it out already, we're all sinners. Don't be blind to it. We are all sinners. Nobody had to teach you how to sin. I got a little toddler, and one day she's going to do something, and I'm going to say, "Did you do it?" And she's going to say, "No." That's the story of every toddler, because nobody teaches them to lie. They just learn to do it on their own. Nobody teaches them to not mind their parents. They just do it on their own. Why? Because we are all descendants of Adam. We are all descendants of the very man who passed that sin nature on to us. And this is a hard thing for a lot of lost people to grasp. Most will admit that they're a sinner. But do you deserve hell for your sin? And then they'll say, oh no, not me. You deserve hell. As sure as you're a sinner, you deserve hell. It only took one sin to get Adam kicked out of the garden. It'll only be one sin to justify sending you and me to hell. That is the reason why Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. That is the reason why the Son of God had to step down from heaven and die on a cross. So, also getting past the person of Christ, you have to know who you are, a sinner. You have to know who Christ is, God manifested in the flesh, the very Son of God. If Jesus Christ was just a man, He couldn't have paid for our sins. He had to be God manifested in the flesh. He had to be perfect. Because He was perfect, He was that perfect sin offering on the cross that could satisfy the very wrath that you and I deserve. Amen? So are you blind to the consequences of your sin? Are you blind to your Savior? Are you blind to good? Y'all are in Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. There were a lot of lost people who tried to convince that Jesus was a sinner. They tried to convict Him of a certain sin. They tried to find something that He did that was wrong. They were looking for something that He did to, so that they can dig some dirt up on Him. You're not going to dig dirt up on Jesus. You could find dirt on every one of us here. There's dirt on every single one of us, but you ain't going to find dirt on Jesus. He was sinless. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift her up herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her unto Him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And He laid His hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed and not on the Sabbath. Then the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when He had said these things, all His adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Him. Let's turn the page to Luke chapter 14. Let's look in verse 1. And it came to pass, as He went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. Y'all see the pattern? That they watched Him, and behold, there was a certain man before Him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And He took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer Him again these things. And He put forth a parable unto those which were bidden when He marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, okay, so they tried to accuse Him of breaking the Sabbath. May I point this out? The Lord was not a sinner. He did not break the Sabbath. A lot of people try to say he broke the Sabbath. He did not break the Sabbath. He said, I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And whenever he fulfilled it, he fulfilled it. He did it perfectly. He was a sinless, holy God-man. Amen? So let's go back to our context in John chapter 9. We read the case on him healing this blind man. John chapter 9 verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they say unto the blind man, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. So as we read from the three accounts here, the Pharisees are always accusing the Lord of sin and breaking the law. And he did not break the law, he fulfilled it. Let me ask you a question. Would Jesus be who he says he is if he didn't do these things? James chapter 4 verse 17 says, Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if he hadn't have done it, it would have been a sin, right? So the Lord was who he says he is. The Lord was Lord God Almighty, manifested in the flesh, and he healed people because he is who he says he is, and he is a good God. And everybody who received these miracles, whenever he made the blind see, they walked away glorifying God. Whenever these crippled people came to him and they were standing up straight again, they were glorifying God. And there are people who are lost who deny that he was good. And everybody who has been touched by his grace can testify, God is good, isn't he? He is good. So are you blind to the very goodness of God? And I'm preaching to Christians too. There are many Christians today who do not appreciate the goodness of God. Oftentimes you get in the honeymoon phase of your relationship with the Lord, and you're on fire for God, and you're reading your Bible every day, you're praying, and you're saying God is good. And then after a couple bad days, you tend to forget all the blessings that he had. You got shoes on your feet, you have health, you have a beating heart, and you have working lungs. You are alive, and you have a salvation that lasts forever. Can I remind you that God is good? God is good all the time. Are you blind to the goodness of God? Are you blind to the evidence? Are you blind to the evidence? Let's continue reading. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. They didn't believe that he was blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who ye say was born blind? Now then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, and now I see." Then said they unto him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, and as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes." There's evidence of who he is. He's making blind people see. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" I got to say, the Lord is not like any other man because he was God Almighty. Amen? This, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So all of the evidence was right there. He was healing people. Sick people received their health. The crippled was able to walk straight. The blind was able to see. The dumb was able to speak. And the deaf, they were able to hear. And this man that was born blind sees. What more evidence did he need? What more evidence did they need? I got to say, there is evidence of a God all around us. Amen? Amen? Turn with me to Romans. Again, hold your place. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." The evidence is there. "Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The Lord Jesus Christ was with the Father whenever he created the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him, and was not anything made that was made. The Lord Jesus Christ was with the Father. He was co-eternal. He was co-equal with the Father. "The evidence of creation testifies of Christ." Whenever you plant a garden, Whenever you plant a garden, you put a seed in the ground, and then fruit comes up. That is a very picture of the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection. Night and day. Sun goes down, death. Sunrise, rises again, resurrection. Darkness comes whenever the sun goes down. That's a picture of death. The sun comes up. That's a picture of resurrection. Springtime, everything dies. The leaves fall off the trees. Everything dies. And then springtime, everything comes back blooming. Resurrection. Everything points to Christ in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Every creation, I mean, this thing didn't happen by chance. Whenever I'm walking in the middle of nowhere, I'm a forester, oh, that's my day job. Whenever I'm walking in the middle of nowhere and I see, let's just say, a watch laying down on the ground, there had to be something that made that watch. It didn't just happen to be on the ground. If you're walking in the woods and you see something that was made by man in the woods, you don't immediately think that this just happens to be there. There had to be a creator for that. It didn't just happen to be there. So creation is a testimony of Christ. You are not an accident. Don't let the world system fool you. You are not an accident formed by evolution. God created you with a purpose. What hope is there whenever the world teaches that you're an accident? You're just here by chance. You have no purpose in life. All you are is a sack full of water, and all you are here to do is exist. What hope does that bring anybody? And yet we wonder why everybody is acting like a bunch of animals today. Why? Because they're teaching us that we're a bunch of animals. And yet people are acting like animals because that's what they're taught to act like. You are created with a purpose. You are made in the image of God. So there's evidence that God is good. So you're blind to your sin nature. You're blind to the goodness of God. You're blind to the evidence. What about blind to the Scriptures? Y'all are in Romans. Let's go to the right to Romans chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians, 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, whenever you witness to somebody and they laugh you to scorn, don't be surprised, because that's just a lost person being a lost person. You got to be patient with folks. You can't expect lost people to act like saved people. Give them the gospel. Get them the gospel and get them saved, and then expect them to act like saved people, because the Holy Spirit's going to move in and He's going to change them from the inside out. But a lost person cannot understand the Word of God because they're spiritually different. They're spiritually discerned. And whenever the Holy Spirit moves in, this book is going to make sense, because the Holy Spirit is the author of this Holy Bible. And whenever the author of this Holy Bible lives inside of you, He's going to show you what this book means. Amen? So, there is a picture of Christ all throughout the books of the Bible. Let's go to Numbers chapter 21. All the way in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 21. Verse 1. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up of the Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You know, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people rebelled against God. We're rebels. We're sinners. And there's a judgment for sin, right? There is a judgment for sin. You and I have been some snake bit, haven't we? But a serpent was lifted up on a brazen pole, on a pole, and anyone who would look to that serpent would live. Same thing with the gospel. Jesus Christ was lifted up on a cross, and anyone who will look to Him shall live, shall have everlasting life. Y'all are in Numbers. Let's go to the left. Numbers chapter 18. Go to the left a little bit. Numbers 18, verse 11. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and for thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. Think of a heave offering. They would take an offering and heave it up. It goes up, vertical. And a wave offering, it went horizontal. What does that make? A cross. It goes up and a cross. These two offerings made a cross. That's a picture of the cross. Most of you know the Passover lamb. Whenever the children of Israel was in Egypt, God told them of the Passover. And they had to take the blood of a lamb and put it on the doorpost of their house. And whenever the death angel went over, the wrath of God would pass over that house. And the firstborn of that house shall live. And anyone who did not have the blood of that lamb applied to the doorpost of their house, the firstborn died. Well, Jesus Christ is a picture of that Passover lamb. Whenever the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was applied to your soul, the wrath of God shall pass over you. And the Red Sea crossing, that's a picture of water baptism. You get saved, the blood applied to your soul, and then after you get saved, you get baptized. So that's a picture of baptism. And as you grow in the Lord, you want to grow and get in the Word of God. Well, what happened after they crossed the Red Sea? They went to Mount Sinai, and God gave them the law, which was the Word of God. And you grow in the Word of God. And them wandering in the wilderness is a picture of the Christian life. That is a picture of the Christian's life. Adam Whenever God made Eve, He opened up Adam's side and got a rib out. And got a rib out and made his wife. Adam was pierced in his side and he got a bride. Whenever the Lord died on the cross, He was pierced in His side and He got a bride, the church. What about, let's go to Joseph. Let's go to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. For context, let's just go to verse 10 and I'll just tell you the context. These two prisoners who was with Joseph, they saw dreams. They dreamed dreams and Joseph was the one to interpret them. And he tells the butler in verse 10, and in the vine were three branches and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in thy hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. So the butler dreamed a dream, and he was pressing grapes into Pharaoh's cup. Well, grape juice is a picture of the Lord's blood being shed, right? Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. And the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good. He said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and the uppermost basket there was of all manner of bakements for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. And the three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker from among the servants, and he restored the chief butler unto the butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them. What does a baker make? He makes bread. Unleavened bread is a picture of the Lord's body. It was perfect. It was sinless. That's a picture of the Lord's body. The baker was put to death. He was hung on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross, a tree. And His blood satisfied the wrath of God, the grapes. And whenever Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, see, Joseph was in that dungeon innocently. He didn't do anything wrong. Jesus Christ was innocent whenever He was crucified. And whenever Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he got him up out of the dungeon and set him at his right hand. Joseph sat at the right hand of Pharaoh. The Lord was resurrected from the grave and sat at the right hand of God. So the Lord shows you these things whenever shows Christians these things, and it just never ceases to amaze the believer as he shows the believer as he studies His word. But a lost person, it says that they're spiritually discerned. So are you blind to your sin? Are you blind to the goodness of God? Are you blind to the evidence of God? Are you blind to His word that testifies on every single page? You see the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that this Bible talks about is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 5. Let's get back to John. John chapter 5, verse 39. He's talking to the Pharisees that didn't believe on him. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Didn't we just read out of the Scriptures all of the testimonies of Christ all throughout the Old Testament Scriptures? "They are they that testify of the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's skip down to verse 46. "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Didn't he write of the Lord Jesus Christ? "But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Let's go back to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 34. "And they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out." They was talking to that blind man who received his sight. These people thought that they knew everything out of the Word of God, yet they couldn't see Jesus Christ on every single page. These religious Pharisees thought that they knew the Lord, they thought that they knew God, but they denied him whenever he walked right in front of them. Whenever he was right there in their presence, they stood outside of Pontius Pilate's palace screaming, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They wouldn't know God if they seen him walk right in front of them. "And they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out." And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. "And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. They had the opportunity to receive Christ, but they didn't. They let the opportunity pass them by, obviously. Literally, they let the Lord Jesus Christ pass them by. Let's turn back a page just for a second and let's look at chapter 8, verse 59. This is how they treated the Lord Jesus Christ. John 8, 59. "Then took they up stones to cast at him, and Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." They let the Lord pass them by. But there was a man who didn't let the Lord pass him by, and that was this blind man. Verse 1 of chapter 9, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man, which was blind from his birth." Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ passed by this blind man and gave him his sight. "I was spiritually blind and in darkness, and he gave me his sight." And if you're saved today, you have that same testimony. You was walking in spiritual darkness. You was lost, and now you're found. He once was blind, and now you see. The Lord Jesus Christ saw a guilty sinner, died on a cross for you and me, and anyone and everyone who believes on him and receives him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior, you will have everlasting life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity to study your word today, Lord. Help us to be good ground and help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to see you on every single page. In Jesus' name, amen. Has the Lord spoken to your heart? Maybe you're in here today and you're lost and you're walking in darkness. Why don't you come? Come to the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and receive Him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior. Maybe you're in here today and you're saved and you know you're saved, but you haven't appreciated the Lord like you should. He showed you His truth. He showed you His goodness. He showed you His evidence. Why don't you come and tell the Lord thank you today? Why don't you come? You mind the Lord. Has God spoken to your heart?